podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a special edition. We are live for Big Fight Weekly, and we've got a special guest today. Former pro boxer, MMA fighter, bare knuckle boxer, now an MMA boxing coach. He's got his own gym here on the North Wales coast. It's Mr. Azzy Thomas on the show with us today for this special live.
Unfortunate at the moment, we're just waiting on a...
Thomas, 9-3 in MMA, 4-0 in boxing, ABA Welsh champion, 2006 silver medalist at the British Championships in boxing, and you also competed at the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne.
That's right, yes, that's right. Many years ago now, some of the best times boxing as an amateur, so yeah, I miss those days, I'll be honest with you.
Chris, do you want to get into Azzy's MMA career first? I know you've got a lot of questions to ask.
Yeah, can do. Can you hear me, Azzy? Is everything good?
Yeah, perfectly clear, mate. Perfectly clear. Great sound.
The wins, there was a lot of submissions.
Yeah, so I knew my ground game was going to be pretty much targeted coming into MMA, being a boxer. All the guys that do MMA, when they fight boxers, they just take them down. So I knew I had to like work on takedown defense and submissions and be dangerous, not only in striking, but with the submission game as well. And to be honest now, if I go into a fight now, my submission game is a lot better than my striking game, which is funny enough. It's a strange way how things work out. My wrestling's come on massively in the last 2 years. Just been working on my wrestling and it's got much better. Obviously, no one's been fighting because of the pandemics. Yeah. I'm fighting on the 4th of September now on Almighty. So I'm looking forward to just testing myself again.
Who's your opponent? Who's your opponent for that one, Azzy?
Well, to be honest, right, so the guy I was meant to fight was Joel Cavey Downey Jr. something. Sorry, this guy going past. And he fought in Cage Warriors last night and got beat. So yeah. I just messaged the promoter and I was saying, I'm not really wanting to fight a guy who's on a losing streak, to be honest. So I'm asking for a new opponent now. I want to be able to like come back, but someone that's like a notable name now, rather than just fighting someone that's like on a losing streak, nothing to gain. I've been out 4 years. I've been on a ban for 4 years. So now I want to come back and... make sure I'm making, you know, I was in the top 10 in the UK at one point at the featherweights, and that's where I want to go again.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get back on that.
Is that where you feel most comfortable at featherweight?
Yeah, to be honest, that's my best weight to fight at. I could possibly make bantamweight, but I don't want to kill myself making weight and struggling, you know, to get there. So I'm comfortable at featherweight, and that's where I feel best at. This fight's actually booked in as lightweight, but we'll see what the promoters come back with, see who they get me. So I'm happy to fight at lightweight. I fought lightweight a few times, but I'm more comfortable, like I say, at featherweight.
Chris?
I was going through, obviously, you were trained in SPG Manchester. You had a hell of a lot of wrecking crew with fighters, ex-UFC and then future UFCs. Morton Stapleton, Saul Watchers, David Grant. You had Aaron Wilkinson in your corners for a few of your fights, I noticed as well.
Yeah, great guy. Aaron, I love Aaron. He's a great guy. He's working now with Carl Prince at American Top Team, which looks like a great team they've got putting together right now. As well. But yeah, SPG, like I wanted to join a gym like that who had Carl Tanswell at the time. Sadly passed away now, but at the time he was probably the best coach in the UK. Mixed martial arts, him alongside, you know, a couple of others, but I hold him in high regard and he taught me so much. And most of the stuff I use today is from Carl Tanswell and the SPG way of training. So I just implemented it into my game. But yeah, some great guys. You know, every day was a hard day in the office. It wasn't an easy day in the office going there, training and sparring. You know, you had to leave your ego at the door. But that's how you get better, you know. And I knew that. I knew I was, like, probably the least experienced, you know, going in sparring with these guys. I knew I was only going to get better because that's how you evolve, you know. You learn off the best people you can. And these guys 100%. At the time, I believe, were the best, you know, around my area.
Also, I was going through some of your fights as well on YouTube. The ones I could actually get hold of, there's a few I couldn't. Yeah. There's one that stood out for me. It was your second fight.
And I know what against... you're
going to
say.
No, no.
Look at his face.
It's against Mitchell.
I know what you're going
to
say.
It was against Mitchell Head. And your mouth guard fell out. Yeah, your mouth guard fell out. And you got the back mount of Mitchell Head. And the referee decided to stop it to put your mouth guard in then. And that just absolutely baffled me.
Yeah, it baffled me, to be honest. But the neck was there, so I just choked him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the opportunity was there. Just it was like, usually they'd let wait for the separation to put the mouth guard in, but he just sort of like stopped you in the back guard and went, oh, here you go. And then, you know, obviously it was there for the taking.
It was a very heat fight. That's what I thought you were going to mention. That's a fight I'm going to look for in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll bring that up. I've written it down. I thought you did quite well, and I thought you were stifling when you had your full guard and you had you on against the cage. I thought you were doing really well to stifle that, to get that standing up. Obviously, you hit him with the up kick, but what I saw in that was an Oscar-winning performance from Mario Saïd.
It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It was, I didn't know till after. I knew it was a bit dodgy. I felt like it was a bit sus the way he went down. I played football, so I kind of know how to win penalties and stuff, and it felt like he was trying to win a fight that kind of way. And then it was only till after it blew up on the internet around the time. It was actually went viral. It went,
I remember,
message from all over the world saying, oh, you got robbed. You got, you know, he was acting. He's doing like basically what you see a Real Madrid player do. And after I seen that, that's when I needed to get that fight on. And I've had an altercation with him actually at Bama. He actually, she might have seen it. It's actually on my Facebook page. I basically called him out at a Bama show. And basically said, you know, we need to get this fight on. He came back after me later on. I was with my partner at the time, and he basically hit me from behind. So it's kind of funny. So this fight, I can't let go. This fight, I want to get on. And he's fighting with Brave in the minute. So if I make a good debut back now after 4 years, Brave, and why not fight Mario Saïd? That's a fight loads of people still want to see.
I definitely want to see it because I could say because you hit him with the up kick, but you know what I mean, it wasn't a knockout. And he was arguing with Mark Goddard at the time, and then decided I'll just fall back. Did everyone give him an Oscar after it? Like, because that was fantastic pantomime.
Even the commentator said to me after that was suspect. That was so everyone in the venue said it was suspect. You have to check it back and look at the replays, and I did. And I could see, like I say, my intuition told me he was doing like a football trick trying to win a penalty. I thought he was going to maybe get a point off or something, maybe, you know, but he got the bloody DQ. He said he couldn't carry on, so he was knocked out, which is bullshit. I seen him actually after that fight, and he was in the doctor's room after. He'd go and get checked out after, and I got him in a rear naked choke. And we're just laughing and joking, and I was like, "Oh, what went on there? Like, you know, was you actually knocked down?" He's like, "Oh, mate, yeah, I think he broke my neck." And he told everyone I broke his neck. He actually got, his neck wasn't broken because I got him in a rear naked choke, just joking about after the fight. And it wasn't broken because if it was broken, I don't know what would happen with a broken neck, but he wouldn't be moving around after walking around freely.
No, I don't think you'd be.
He'd be laid out on a stretcher going to the emergency room, has he?
Yeah, he actually literally got he actually did do something to his neck years ago, and he actually posted it online like it was me that did it. But he had an operation on his neck, and he had some like stuff put in his neck and bolts and stuff. And he said it was me that did that, but we found out later on he did it years ago. But he posted it online like I did it.
Why is he lying about something like that? Like, you know what I mean, that could be detrimental. That could be detrimental to your career, you know, him saying it was you.
Yeah, he's absolutely bonkers. It wasn't me. It was an old injury. He's just mad. Mario's mad. Like, this is a fight I really, really want to get on in the future. He's actually phoned me up about 18 months ago saying he wants to fight me. He actually got my number and phoned me. I was talking to him. I was getting my hair cut in my barber's. And my barber could speak Kurdistan because they're from the same country. And they were like... I passed him the phone and like they're having a conversation and like it was just pretty mad how he phoned me, so a bit surreal. But like this, hope he takes it if I get my win, and I don't know if he's still fighting, we can get it on. Even at welterweight, I'll go up to welterweight to fight him because that's what he said. Oh, you'll have to fight me at welterweight. I said, not a problem. Whatever weight you want to be, we'll make it happen as long as you sign a contract. So this
how How are you pre-fight, Azzy? We're fans at the end of the day. You're a fighter. What's your headspace like prior to the fight? You know, being in an arena, in a venue where there could be, you know, possibly thousands of people. How are you mentally prior to the getting in the cage or getting in the boxing ring?
Different now. Like I say, more experienced now. I've been through it so many times. Still nerve-wracking. Like anyone says it's not nerve-wracking is a liar. You know, at the end of the day, you're going in to fight another man who's going to try and take your head off in front of your friends, your family, and like you say, big crowds. Sometimes it's live, you know. So it can be quite daunting, but you've got to calm yourself. You've got to use that. And I use Customato's motto, which is like, you know, nerves can be like a flame. It can either keep you warm or it can absolutely, you know, turn into a blazing fire and, you know, destroy you. So, yeah, just keep yourself warm, stay focused. And your training should basically, if you put the work in, the only time I've ever got nervous, right, is when I took a fight on 3 days' notice on KSW. It was a fucking big show. There's 15,000 people, sold out arena, an Ergo arena, right? So 3 days, I'd left SBG. I decided to go back to do boxing, professional boxing. So I had no MMA training for this fight. And I took it because I'm just mad like that. I just like, fuck it, let's go take a fight.
Why not?
Yeah. So I took this fight anyway. Then I'm about to come out. I'm looking outside, how many fucking people there. And it's the first time I've ever got nervous. Only because, though, it wasn't because I'm scared of anything or any man or anything. It's the fact that, shit, I haven't trained for this fight. I don't know how I'm going to react. I don't know how my body's going to react when I get taken down or get into wrestling exchange. I knew this guy was a black belt judo guy. He's quite a strong ground game. But then I just got a picture on my phone. I have my phone with me. I've got a picture of my kids and it just brought me back to reality. Shit, I can't go in there like this because I'll get hurt. So I've got to focus and just do what I can with what ability I've got and the experience that I've got. And yeah, I did all right in that fight, to be honest. Lost on points, but like I say, I did all right on 3 days' notice. Should have won it. Could have won it. And just one of them experiences again.
Would you? Carnage Payne, Azzy, one of our regulars, this guy. He's always watching the show every week. Great show, lads. Royal Hard Work, Stu and Chris. Yeah.
Cheers for the super chat, mate.
Thank you for the donation, mate. We appreciate that. John Richmond. Mark Lloyd, another regular. Thank you very much for your super chat again, mate.
Cheers, Mark. There's a few questions for here, Azzy, so I'm going to just throw some at you.
Yeah, go on.
This is from Carnage Payne. He's asking you, who is your favourite fighters to watch?
He's beat me to it. I've got that written down. I could have asked
my favourite fighters. If I'm talking boxing, I'm going to say Marco Antonio Barrera. Mm-hmm. I used to love Ricky Hatton at the time because I was a big British boxing fan. And if I'm talking MMA, then I'm going to go with Chuck Liddell because he's the person who made me switch my boxing to MMA. And I just fell in love with the sport from then. Chuck Liddell when he fought Tito Ortiz. And then I was just, from then on, it was, no looking back. And that was a long time ago. But if I'm saying today, my favourite fighter today, there's a few good ones, isn't there? Let's be honest. I know Khabib's retired and a lot of people don't like the Khabib style, but I think he's...
Monster.
He's got to be one of the best now of all times. You know, I can't see anyone beating him if he comes back or, you know, any of the champions here today. You know, who's it? Oliveira. I don't think he gives him a hard day. I think he wipes the floor with him. So I'd say Khabib today, my favourite kind of fighter.
You'll like this next question because it's from Brett Thomas. And he loves to talk about a certain two people in celebrity boxing. So I'd like to see what your thoughts are.
What's your opinion on the Paul brothers? Hey, do you know what? These guys are making money. They're hustlers. They're doing what they're doing. To be honest, it's not something I like personally, you know, but, you know, there's two guys just trying to make some money. So, you know, I think every person who if had the opportunity to do the same thing, you know, if you're going to make £1 million, you know, having a boxing fight and picking your hand, you know, hand picking your fights and a bit of training, You're going to do it. These guys, though, to be fair, one of them, what's the one who knocked out? Ask him. What's his
name? Jake Paul. Jake Paul.
He looks half decent. You know, he looks like he can throw down a little bit. You got to give him respect. Did he take a dive? Though a lot of people said he took a dive again. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Who knows?
What about the talk about they were NCAA Division One? Chris is skeptical about that. Yeah. They were Division One in their craft.
I can't see tape on it though. I got to see taped for me to see the actual proof on it. You know.
Yeah, I have heard that myself. But hey, look. Do you know what? What's the one that with Fort Floyd? What's him? What's his name?
Logan Paul.
Listen, Logan did better than Ricky Hatton, Canelo. He got a draw against Mayweather.
But it wasn't. No. It didn't go on the pro record, has
he?
Mayweather's not daft. Mayweather's not.
I know. He did it for money. He's a businessman. He's a businessman. Now, boxing, professional boxing, is a business. You fight the amateurs. It's a sport. You go to the boxing game, professional. It's all about selling tickets. It's all about marketing yourself. You know. And that's probably another reason why I fell out of love of boxing, to be honest. I did $400 tickets in my first pro debut.
Wow.
And then I did two. Honestly, have a look on my fight against Martin Sweeney. It was absolutely rampacked. I had all the Stoke fans there because my dad played for Stoke. It was in Stoke. They all turned up. It was fucking mental. The atmosphere was unbelievable. You know, and obviously then the promoters obviously loved what I was about, obviously selling tickets, making them a lot of money. And then the second night, they did that on a Saturday. The second show, they did it on a Friday. And I sold about 180 tickets, which is a shit load of tickets still. And they weren't happy. They weren't happy. Like, oh, you only done 180 tickets. I was like, fucking hell. Some of you guys, your top guys, they're only doing 20 tickets. You know, I've done 180 tickets here. And then it's like, oh, it's just like, seems to be like, it's all about how many tickets you sell, how much money you can make for the promoters. And, you know, I lost love of it, so it didn't seem like be a sport. And then it would get me easy opponents, and I wanted to fight whoever. Like, I wanted to fight some good fighters. I understand the promoters will look after fighters, but I had a good amateur experience, and I just wanted to crack on. And I didn't really enjoy it, so I lost love of fighting boxing.
What are your thoughts on Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury? Now, Tommy Fury's been on limited rounds in his early bouts, and they're obviously building him. Yeah. How do you feel about Tommy Fury, if you've seen anything of him?
Yeah, I've seen him, yeah. Like I say, he's fought a few trash cans as well. You know, it's hard to judge when you're fighting nobodies. It's like, you know, they're literally dragging these people off the street, it looks like to me. But I think his boxing pedigree and his background, you know, his amateur background stuff will do him a good stead. He should do a job, really, shouldn't he?
What about Tyron Woodley, though? Tyron Woodley, Jake Paul.
Do you know what? If Woodley catches him on the chinny chin chin, it could be a good night.
I hope he does.
You know,
I hope he does.
I think Woodley does. You know, I'm gonna say 100%. I'm gonna put Woodley down for that one. I'm not gonna sit on the fence.
That's fair enough. I'm a bit suspect of Woodley's chin because I mean I know he's been on a 4-fight losing streak, but he did fight, you know, killers in the welterweight division. He didn't fight bums. He fought everyone in the top five. You know, Vicente Luque is on the rise, so there was no harsh for him to lose to him. But I'm just a bit worried where Woodley's head's at, if it's for the money or just to shut Jake Paul up, personally. I can say his chin worries me a bit if he gets caught as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not for the money. It will be slightly for the money. Those top guys fight for the money now. But I don't think he'd want to lose. No, I don't think he'd want to lose against him. I think his pride fighting the top level. Ask him definitely. Look at how Ask him turned up in that fight. He looked like a bloody jelly bean.
He did. He's been out for 6 months with hip injury, but prior to that as well. You know what I mean? And I've watched Ben Askren for a long time, so I knew myself that his striking, you know, striking game.
Striking probably the worst I've ever seen in MMA. Yeah. It's absolutely diabolical how bad his striking is. You know, he could probably say the same about my wrestling compared to his, but the striking in a boxing fight, wow, no.
No, definitely.
Obviously money.
How about McGregor and Poirier? We've got that next month. Third fight. Who are you thinking, Azzy? What's your thoughts on that one?
Right, okay, so you've got two different McGregors now. You've got a McGregor now who's past his peak. I think he's lost that hunger. Maybe that loss has brought that bit of hunger back. But he reminds me of Mike Tyson. I used to watch boxing years ago, obviously. Mike Tyson, when he was 21, he was a wrecking machine. And then once he became like the richest sports person in the world, money goes to your head, no doubt. And that's what happened to him. And I spoke to Joe Egan, a good friend of mine and my family, and he was a sparring partner of Tyson. He said, no one's seen the best of Tyson. You know, when he lost to Buster Douglas, he was probably high as a kite. I think we can all say that. He'll probably tell you that himself, right? So he'd lost that dynamic strength, that dynamic speed and power. I'd probably say his power, but it wasn't the same Tyson. It was a lesser Tyson. I think McGregor's been partying, living a lifestyle, 100 million in the bank of Floyd Mayweather. Once you lose that hunger, it's hard to get yourself up in the morning to push yourself that extra mile. And these elite athletes are pushing themselves that extra mile. I think Poirier was more hungry in the last fight, learned from the first fight. I'm going to say it again. I think Poirier does a job on him again.
Comments. There's a few comments coming in. We will answer your comments at some point, maybe towards the end. So don't think we're ignoring you because we're not. With Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, the last time I liked Conor McGregor and his style was when he beat Eddie Alvarez, because that was the Conor McGregor. I haven't seen Conor McGregor for a very long time after that. I got frustrated in that second fight against Dustin Poirier. It wasn't his karate stance. There was no movement the way he used to move. It was all boxing stance, and it was it looked like to me he was teeing up for that Manny Pacquiao fight. He was trying to get after the fight if he won. And those calf kicks, obviously, he hasn't really worked on or watched. How these have come into play now, and he obviously struggled with things like that. It's difficult to see, but you can't count Conor McGregor out because, he can just, appear to be better. But I don't know. Dustin's bigger than him at welterweight as well. Lightweight as well. You saw the difference in sizes when they both, stood next to each other in the octagon. So I think Dustin's on a roll. Dustin's fought some hard fighters. Conor McGregor hasn't fought for a very long time. Minus Cowboy for 60 seconds. And, obviously Dustin Poirier for the two rounds they fought, way back. But, I think Dustin's on a tear, and I think Dustin's destined for that lightweight title shot against Charles Oliveira, personally.
Yeah, I'm going to go say the same thing. And Poirier would have noticed, being a boxer, you lead heavy on the lead leg, and he must have thought about that going into that fight, because he targeted it, didn't he? Like, it was a part of the game plan. McGregor's saying now he's obviously switched on and aware of that, so we'll see how the tactics play out. It's going to be interesting, though, but I think Poirier beats him again.
John Kavanagh needs to get it all bob on in the camp as well this time. Yeah. If they're gonna, Poirier will smash him if he gets an opportunity. Starts loading up.
He's the richest person in the world as well, though, now, McGregor. So you've got to understand.
Thing is, I think
McGregor's a businessman as well. Don't forget. He's more motivated by money, I see, than he was like the title. If you know what I mean, his goal is more money and how much money paper he can stack. He's all about showing how much money he's got. Then he is actual. He doesn't really talk about fighting much now, obviously. It's about whiskey, selling. It's all about that.
I'll argue with Nate Diaz on Twitter.
I'd love to see that fight again, though. That was a great fight.
I don't see anybody coming in and making the money, because he was a one-off. It's all been done. He borrowed from pro wrestling in his promos and all that. It was the theatre aspect, wasn't it, and stuff like that. I can't see anybody making the money he's made in MMA and combat sports.
Am I wrong there?
Does someone else come along?
You see, when Conor McGregor first was in Cage Warriors, and I watched all that, and he had the bravado then, he had that self-belief then when he was going through Cage Warriors, became double champion within six months to a year. And then he came in, he joined the UFC against Marcus Bremage. And you can see, the whole 60 Gs, Dana, you saw everything then. I don't see any other sort of fighter that's come in with that kind of bravado. They probably copied it to an extent, but they haven't got that switched onness that Conor McGregor had.
Yeah, he's got the X factor on him when it comes to promoting fights and, all eyes on him. People are tuning in not just to see him win, they're also tuning in to see him get knocked out and stuff as well, because people hate that. It's like Mayweather, isn't it? People tune in to see him get beat the more than they see him get win. Because he puts out there, doesn't he? You can't disrespect what they do, though. Hard work, dedication, it pays off. And I don't think it's such a bad thing that they do what they do and they make money, and it's good on them.
When he calls out people like Kaara Usman worries me, though, and I'm thinking that's not a good fight for him. that's what I see, yeah.
Bad fight.
He won't go up to welterweight.
He likes it there, though. He said before, he likes it there.
I think it's too much for him to put on, personally. Alzi, how do you feel about him at 170?
You know, no, Usman, wow, no chance. He's never going to beat Usman. Usman just take him down anyway if he wanted to. Look what Khabib did to McGregor. I think Usman bigger, stronger. Is he better wrestler? No, maybe not. But, you know, he's got way too much strength and too much power for McGregor. You know, when it especially gets in the later rounds.
Then he's tired.
Yeah, carrying that extra weight. McGregor, if he doesn't win in the first round, you know, he struggles a bit sometimes, doesn't he? You know, he finds it hard.
After the second round, he sees his gas tank starts emptying. Yeah,
the snap goes out of his punches. I seen that, like going back to the Khabib fight when he fought Khabib. I seen a couple of efforts from him where he got Aldo, where he laid back and he hit that crisp, lovely left hand. He tried it on Khabib, but the timing wasn't there. Now McGregor's timing was impeccable when he was, you know, was on it. You know, I think he's lost that now. Which once you lose that timing and that snap in the shot, which his main attribute was his left cross, right? His power striking. He's lost that now, pretty much. So I think he's done. Like I say, going back to school, I think he's done. And calling out Usman, bad night in the office.
I'll say about the Khabib fight, though. He's done better against Khabib than any other fighter that's gone against Khabib since Khabib was the champion.
Yeah.
So that proves his pedigree.
Poirier landed on... He landed against Khabib, but obviously Khabib took it, didn't he? And then went on to destroy him.
Yeah, Conor went later with Khabib. But don't forget, this was the punching old men in the pubs, Conor throwing, you know, gollies into coaches. Yeah. And this was the guy who's come out and said he was drinking whiskey and partying prior to his training for the Khabib.
There's a different fight. Now, Khabib versus the Conor that beat Alvarez, again, that's a different fight.
100%.
Totally different fight, you know? You know, I've gone into fights unfit before now, and I know the difference of being fit and unfit and, you know, taking the piss out of the people you might be fighting and underestimating them and going partying and stuff and then fighting 2 weeks later. It's a fucking hard sport to be in to do that. You can't take the piss in the sport, and that's what he did.
Sports Social Podcast Network.